Testament, there's a phrase that has become very controversial. And here to talk about that phrase and much, much more is Dr. Andy Woods. Andy, welcome to Prophecy Watchers.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me, as always.
And I'm just going to start by reading that phrase. The phrase in question is in, and I'm going to read the King James Bible, my old, reliable King James, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, that's one verse in the Bible, and more or less in the middle of that verse is the phrase "falling away." It has become the center of much discussion lately, Andy.
Well, it sure has, and I think part of the reason for the static on that is you have basically two views. Probably the dominant view out there that most people are aware of is this is referring to some sort of doctrinal departure.
Mm-hmm.
They would say the noun apostasia there is used only one other time, and they'll take you over to the book of Acts where, you know, Paul is accused of leading people in an apostasy against the law of Moses. And they say, well, that, if that's what it means over there, that's what it's got to mean here.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
they're not really paying attention to another possibility, that apostasia can mean a physical departure. So the noun apostasia can mean, all it means is a departure. The question is, a departure from what? A physical departure or a doctrinal departure?
Mm-hmm.
And you ascertain that by how the word is used in its context. And the reason this has become a big deal is if this is saying the physical departure comes first,
mm-hmm,
before all of the other things Paul mentions in these verses, then there's no point anymore debating the rapture of the church. As we all know, there's been a great war taking place amongst Christians for the past at least century, concerning when does the rapture happen. Is it before the tribulation, middle of the tribulation, the end of the tribulation? Is it somewhere, you know, in the second half of the tribulation? And if this is a physical departure, there's nothing to debate anymore, because the rapture happens first.
Excuse me, but 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, people have come to me and said, this proves conclusively, this verse, verse 3, proves conclusively that the Antichrist is going to come to power and torment Christianity before the rapture of the church. And in all sincerity, they will come, mm-hmm, with that, using this as a proof text that we're going through at least the first half of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've had that, that same discussion.
Sure, and you know, we believe that the New Testament teaching on the rapture is imminency.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen at any moment. It could happen before this broadcast is over.
Amen.
Some of the viewers might be praying for that to happen.
Oh,
you
yeah
know? I don't know. But that's how God set up the doctrine. Every generation is to believe that any moment Christ could return and interrupt our natural lifespans. And by the way, I think God set it up that way, because that's what keeps us motivated. It keeps our priorities right. I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you work harder when your boss says, you know, I'm going to be leaving for 2 months? Or do you work harder when your boss says at any minute, I can step into the office and ascertain, you know, what you're doing for me?
Well, see, that answers itself.
Yeah. You know, one of my professors was J. Dwight Pentecost in seminary. I had him for 4 academic courses. He's with the Lord now. But he made a statement one time in class that I really didn't believe. He said, every time you see a reference to the rapture, and even broadened it to include the second advent, he says, you'll notice it's always linked to daily life. Hmm. Whether it's joy, patience under trial, personal holiness. And to be honest with you, when he made the statement, I didn't believe it was true. And so I've looked at it myself, and I hope the people out there will look at it themselves, and you'll see that as true. And that's why immanency, the any moment appearance of Jesus, is such a key doctrine because of its linkage to daily life. And that's why I think Satan is trying to block out this doctrine. You know, you ask a mid-tribulationalist, can Jesus come back today? Mm-hmm. No.
Right.
42 months of the tribulation period must happen. You ask what they call a pre-wrath rapturist, which I think is a misnamed belief, because we're pre-wrath rapturists.
Oh, yes, we are.
But they believe the rapture happens in the middle of the second half sometime. Can Jesus come back today? Nope. Three-quarters, roughly, of the tribulation has to transpire first. Well, you ask a post-tribulationalist, can Jesus Christ come back today? Nope. 7 years of the tribulation must happen. If you ask us, pre-tribulationalists, can Jesus Christ come back today? We're the only group out there that can answer definitively yes. In fact, the great John Walvoord, the great defender of pre-tribulationalism, used to have a plaque in his office at Dallas Seminary saying, perhaps today.
Yes.
Now, if you're mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath, you can't say perhaps today. So that's what we call immanency. And what people do is they say, well, the Bible doesn't teach immanency. What it says here is the doctrinal apostasy must come first. So they'll use this verse to deny immanency. And the fact of the matter is we have a response to that.
Mm.
The response is this word could not necessarily be talking about a doctrinal departure. It could be a synonym for the rapture itself. And it could be talking about a physical departure. So we use that to blunt their argument that they use this verse for to deny immanency, when you understand that this is actually a synonym for the rapture itself. Well, that's why there's so much static on this issue today.
And that I understand. But before we get to the fine points of this, the thing that has struck me about the teaching of the pre-tribulational rapture is that it seems so unlikely. Remember, Chuck Missler used to say it almost seems, and he used the word preposterous, to think that the body of Christ in one instant would be suddenly taken off this earth. It's unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlikely, and therefore it's easy to refute. It just doesn't seem very likely, and yet there it is in Scripture.
Well, how unlikely did it seem when Jesus in Acts 1 said, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now, which was an allusion to the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
We read about the speaking of other languages and the fire descending upon them like a dove and those kind of statements. Right. It was a miracle.
It was.
And when Christ made the statement, this is going to happen, you know, a few days from now, it probably seemed, to use Chuck Missler's term, preposterous and unlikely. So what we're saying is the age of the church began with a miracle. I mean, the day of Pentecost, we can read about it in Acts 2. So wouldn't God be consistent to end the age of the church with a miracle? I mean, if the miracle brought the whole thing into existence, a miracle could end the earthly mission of the church. It's only preposterous to a mind that doesn't acknowledge miracles and the supernatural.
Now, Chuck acknowledged the pre-trib rapture.
Absolutely.
Of the church, but he was trying to explain why so many people have a problem with
right.
it. And I think he was right on the mark
right.
there. But I am now at the place in my life, in my spiritual life, have been for some time, I know you are too, I'm perfectly at ease with this concept. And it's my blessed hope.
Yep.
And I want to transmit this to other people. That's my position.
Exactly.
And I know you do too.
Absolutely.
So, having said that, let's talk about this preposterous thing.
Well, you know, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the word moment there in 1 Corinthians 15 is a translation of the word atomos, where we get the word atom,
mm-hmm.
which is referring to something that's so small it can't be divided. It's analogized to the twinkling of an eye. And that's the speed or the velocity in which the rapture will happen. I can't guarantee it'll happen before we die. I sure hope it will. Because mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen someone die, even a brother or sister in Christ. a family member. It's horrible.
Sure.
And what we're promised in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58, is there's a generation out there that won't die. They'll be immediately placed in their resurrected body prior to the elapsing of their own lifespan. And that's the great hope in terms of how the age of the church will end. It'll end with the last trumpet. Not to be confused with the trumpets elsewhere in the book of Revelation. It's saying the last trumpet of the church age. And that's when this will take place and this wonderful event called the rapture will occur. It's the blessed hope of the church. It removes us from the earth before the wrath of God is poured out. It doesn't exempt us from normal problems of life, but it removes us from this earth before the wrath of God is poured out. And if I didn't believe that and I thought I was going to somehow be plunged into the reign of the Antichrist, I don't know if I could really go through life with any degree of sanity, to be honest with you. But Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 and 7 says the Spirit is in us now restraining the Antichrist. The Antichrist can't even come forward as long as the church is present.
Good point.
And, you know, Satan is not omniscient. We know he's a created being. And so I believe he's always had a man waiting in the wings. That's why so many of our leaders today look like potential antichrists.
Well, if you go back to the days of World War II, I can find any number of Christian books that identified Hitler as the antichrist.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen some of those.
Sure. Some of our recent presidents in recent times seem like they're almost auditioning for the part, you know, the way they talk and act. But, you know, Satan's always had people in mind. But one of these days, the hindrance is gone, and he's allowed to express himself perfectly through a man called the Antichrist. That can't even happen as long as the church is here.
Before we get into the details of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the very first verse. Now, I happen to have this verse hanging on my wall in the upstairs hallway. And every time I pass it, I smile. It says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." Period. Okay. Mm. I accept that. In other words, what Paul is saying is, I don't need you. I don't need to give you names, dates, places, schemes, methodologies to attempt to understand the date of the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know perfectly well that it's going to come as a thief in the night. And so what a remarkable statement that is. But of the times and seasons now, of course, my reaction to that is, oh, yes, I do have the need for you to give me further information. But Paul, I think, leading the Holy Spirit, is saying, no, that's not given.
Right.
Relax.
Right.
It'll be fine.
Right. And I, you know, to dovetail on that, if you go to 2 Thessalonians 2:5, Paul says to the Thessalonians, when he's developing all of these wonderful prophetic truths to them, "Do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you these things?"
Right.
In other words, what you got going on here is a review class.
Yes.
And I was a professor at a college for 7 years. You taught in school. When you review for the test, you don't relay the foundation.
True.
And so that's, a lot of people have a problem with our view of 2 Thessalonians 2:3. They say that can't be the rapture because Paul would have used the word harpazo, which is the same word he uses back in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. And the answer to that is, you know what? Paul doesn't have to use the same words. He's got multiple words he uses for the rapture. And he uses a different word here, the departure, physical departure, the apostasia.
Now, having previewed a number of topics, I just want to hold up this book by Andy Woods. It's called The Falling Away, Spiritual Departure or Physical Rapture, dealing with this term in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And as you open this volume, it's a slim volume, to be sure, but let me tell you, the preparation of this volume is amazing. And I told Andy, we were talking just yesterday, and I said, this has got to be the most logical presentation I've ever seen in my entire life. 10 reasons. The falling away refers to the rapture. And then what you see below that on the table of contents is reason 1, reason 2, all the way through reason 10. It's laid out so that you can follow a train of logic concerning this phrase. And having introduced it this way, let's talk about that phrase.
Yeah, well, you know, this book, you know, I really didn't write it for eggheads and scholars. I didn't want to write a tome.
Mm-hmm.
It's written just for people that are kind of caught up in the static.
Yes.
And we've tried to explain why there's static and disagreement. Some of it, sadly, is done in a very un-Christian manner by people that really aren't exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit.
There's a lot of bad blood out there. Let's just go ahead and say it.
Yeah, and so people are wondering, what's the acrimony about?
Right.
And this is designed for the fence sitter or for the person who's just not sure. All they see is a shouting match between different camps. What's this whole thing about? They could sit down, they could read this book in one sitting, and they could say, okay, that's what the whole thing is about, and I'm actually going to change my position. And I know that God is using this little booklet or pamphlet in this way, because I've gotten multiple emails from people that said, you know, I was sort of unclear about that, but I sat down and read this in one sitting. It wasn't hard to follow or understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a believer more so than I've ever been in the doctrine of the pre-tribulational rapture, partially because of 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Now, let's pretend just for a minute that we're wrong on this. A lot of people say we are.
All right.
Well, the rapture of the pre-tribulational rapture of the church doesn't rise or fall based on 2 Thessalonians 2, 3a. There, I have a presentation on YouTube where I give 7 proofs for the pre-trib rapture that don't even relate to this. But this is just sort of, it seals the deal. It's icing on the cake,
mm-hmm.
and that's why this verse has become so contested in our day.
Well, you know, the idea of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about the things that will precede the day of the Lord. And it describes the evil one. It describes the function of the Holy Spirit. It gives you a really clear idea of the body of Christ and the relationship between Christ and his body. And yet there is this phrase. And historically, this phrase has been translated in different ways than it is in the King James Version.
Yeah, if you go back to some of the earlier English translations, what you'll discover is the word is translated more in the idea of a physical departure, departing, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
rather than something doctrinal. And, you know, the question is, why did the King James Version move in the direction of suddenly translating it doctrinally rather than physically? And I deal with that a little bit, you know, in this little booklet. It really goes back to the Reims Bible, which is a Roman Catholic English translation.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically got involved in theological polemics where they wanted this word apostasia to be aimed at the Protestants, the rebels. And the King James Version came back and said, well, two can play that game. We want the word aimed at the Roman Catholics. So what happened is theological polemics started to usurp a long-standing tradition of Bible translation. And so and sadly, most of our English versions today, whether it's the NIV, NASB, a number of others we could cite, are following what the King James Version did. So most people today have never, because of the Bible versions they're using, have never heard of the physical departure view. Yet I believe that if people were using Bible translations pre-King James, they would see it in their Bible translation and be much more open to the idea. So this is why this is sort of a new idea to people. And I give a little bit of the translation history in this particular booklet.
Now, you can get into the Greek and precedents, and there are a number of New Testament precedents for translating the Greek word, the translated here, falling away, as a departure. Mm-hmm. And you get into that in mm-hmm. some depth.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if you don't want to go that deep, you can just check out this wonderful little book here, The Falling Away, Spiritual Departure or Physical Rapture, and look at those very logical 10 reasons. Mm-hmm. And I like what you've done, but let's go back to verse 3, read it. And if you would like to read that in the NASB, that's fine. I have the King James here. And we can then analyze that verse, or I would like to let you do that.
Well, the verse just says, and this is, I think, is the NASB I'm using, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy, that's the Greek noun, apostasia, mm-hmm. which is only used twice in the New Testament, once here and once in Acts, unless the apostasia comes first. Then the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Now, what people need to understand is you don't look at the anglicized word apostasia and think it means doctrinal apostasy. That's not what the word means in Greek. The only thing it means is departure. The question is departure from what? That's the question. Now, can it be used for a doctrinal departure? Yes, it can if the context calls for it. Can it be used for a physical departure? Yes, it can if the context calls for it. So it really becomes a battle of context, trying to figure out what the word means. I mean, when I use the word run, think of how many uses of the word there are for run. It could be a run in your stockings. It could be a run to the store. You left your car engine running. Think of the word apple.
Mm-hmm.
It could be New York City, the Big Apple. It could be a computer. It could be a piece of fruit. It could be the pupil of one's eye.
Yeah.
I mean, on and on we could go. So when you see the word apple in a text, how do you know which meaning to supply? Well, context is king. And I believe the context here is the rapture, because if you just back up to verse 1, and verse 1 comes before verse 3, amen?
Amen.
It says, now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. That sounds an awful lot like the rapture to me.
It sets the context.
Yeah, so why can't I interpret apostasia in that context as a physical departure, since linguistically I'm allowed to do that, because the word can mean many things depending on its context. In other words, I'm not bound to read a doctrinal understanding of this word into this passage. I'm free to select the meaning of apostasia based on its usage in context. And by the way, did you know that when you look at the 2 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians together, and these two books were written in very close proximity to each other. Paul was in Corinth. Both of them are written probably around AD 51, maybe within 6 months of each other. Did you know that every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with a reference to the return of Christ? Every single one. That's in 1 Thessalonians
right.
chapters 1 through 5. And so the overriding emphasis of these two books is the return of Christ. And so I'm perfectly comfortable, based on the immediate context and the extended context, to read a physical departure understanding into this word.
And let's face it, it is our blessed hope, folks. And when we talk about the Antichrist, we're not talking about being ruled by him, because clearly, in my opinion, we are not, the church is not destined for enduring the rule of the Antichrist. I mean, and you don't have to look at 2 Thessalonians to find that out. There are a number of places
right.
in the Bible.
In fact, verses 6 and 7, if I'm understanding that correctly, the Antichrist can't even come forward while the church is here.
Because we are the restrainer.
Because we are the restrainer. And if people haven't bought into that totally, I try to develop it a little bit more in the booklet. But the Antichrist entering into the peace treaty with unbelieving Israel starts the 7-year countdown, and that can't even happen as long as the church is present, because as long as the church is present, the Antichrist is being held at bay.
Wow.
I just wish we had another half hour, and we don't. The clock has caught up with us, but I really want I want you to read The Falling Away. Very concise, logical presentation that we don't have time to do in its complete form today, but you'd be amazed at how Andy puts this all together. We're coupling that, as we do, with another of Andy's books, The Coming Kingdom, which I think is one of the great reads of all time, because it tells you who you are as a Christian, the background of Christianity, the expectations, the prophetic expectations, the truth about life as a Christian and the body of Christ. And again, we're putting this together as the Andy Woods package with these two books, The Falling Away and The Coming Kingdom. We're also going to include a free bonus, Wake the Bride. And as if that weren't enough, the fourth item, one verse proves the pre-tribulation rapture. If you want to have Andy Woods on DVD talking about what he was talking about a moment ago, except in much, much greater detail, this DVD is for you. These four items we're putting together as the Andy Woods package for your gift of $50, free shipping anywhere in the United States. Go to prophecywatchers.tv. And you'll find the Andy Woods package right there in our online bookstore. Andy, we've got a little less than a minute. You're going to be with us for the second annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Forum, October 12th through 14th, and we're really looking forward to your presentation there. And if you want to meet and talk with Andy, he's going to be there. You're going to have a book table?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And he is a wonderful conversationalist. You'll enjoy meeting him. Hope you come. The second annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Conference is getting very, very close, right, Bob?
It is, and if you can't join us in Norman, Oklahoma, there's another wonderful solution. We're going to be live streaming the conference this year from the Embassy Suites Hotel. We have 33 speakers at the conference: David Reagan, Jan Markell, Elie Marzulli, Tommy Ice, Bill Salas, Bill Koenig. All of the leading lights of Bible prophecy are going to be with us. And for as little as $50, you can join us in Norman for the conference of the year.
If you can't make it in person, there's always a live streaming. Tell them about it, Bob.
Live streaming is wonderful. You can watch from your laptop, watch from your desktop, watch from your iPhone. If you have a Roku box, you can watch on your big screen TV. If you have an Apple device, you can watch on your TV in the comfort of your family room.
And we will be seeing you one way or another, October 12th through 14th, the second annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Forum. I'm Gary Stearman for Bob Ulrich. Hey, keep watching. We are. Andy, we've got a half a minute. Wrap this up for us.
Wrap it up. Well, the very next event on the prophetic horizon is the return of Jesus Christ for his church, and we ought to be evangelizing and living and thinking based on that hope. And that should be the revolutionary principle of our lives.
Indeed, it is revolutionary. If you think it could come in the very next second, it'll change your Christian walk for the better. Thanks a lot, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Gary Stearman. Hey, we're watching. You keep watching, too. Thanks for joining us on Prophecy Watchers. You can find us on the web at prophecywatchers.com, where you can sign up for our free email newsletter. In the meantime, keep watching, everybody, and we'll see you soon.